Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're actually back 3 weeks in a row now. Three Mac shows, three big shows. The network is back and thriving as we go through the winter months. Joining me, absolutely stellar panel, talking about... Oh, I've not got the bloody shot right. Oh, yeah. Start us off. Top left. It's Howard. How you doing, missus?
I'm fine. Hello to everybody.
What's been going off?
Not much. The week has gone by really quickly.
That's what happens when you're having a good time on the big show. The week just
We're trying to sort out your internet.
Oh, the week has gone really quickly because you've had to read a book instead of playing Flappy Chicken or something.
Yeah, watching cooking shows. That's it.
Good. What was your favourite cooking show this week then?
It was making moi moi with five ingredients.
Oh, what's moi moi? That sounds exotic.
It's made with beans.
Uh-oh. Okay.
That's where the hiss is from.
Where the hiss is coming from, yeah.
Oh, boy.
You fell for that.
I haven't had any beans today.
It's made with beans.
It's made with beans.
And what other flavours, though?
You can have tomato and a bit of crayfish. And I'm trying to think what she used with the five ingredients. I tend to do tomato, the beans, an onion, a bit of crayfish, maybe some stock.
Nice, like crayfish.
Yeah. And you steam it. So you blend that all together and you steam it.
Like, watching cooking shows, not stream them, says he. That's a bit below the belt, mate. Welcome back, mate. Welcome back. Jeffrey, how you been, mate?
I've been great, and I've really missed you since the last time we saw each other.
Oh, mate, we missed you too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the day when I get to have curry with you.
Well, we've had Greek food together.
We have, and it was great.
It was great.
So next time, curry.
I don't know. Did we eat when I was at Macworld? I don't think we ate. You just handed me a bottle of gin, and we talked on the show floor. We never went out for a beer and drinks, did we?
No, I don't think we did.
I didn't think we
did. But you did get your gin, and that's what really matters.
Oh, mate, that gin lasted for nearly a week.
So you rationed it.
Yeah. We were going back, and they were saying, sir, your luggage is overweight. You might have to leave the Spirit. And I'm like, yeah, you touch that. Yeah. My mate Jeff brought me that all the way from Denver. You're not having that. Beneath him, just about to take a sip of water and loosen his throat muscles. Patrice, how you doing, mate?
Oh, doing good.
Oh, your audio's gone. It's faded out. It was a rather delicate fade, but... Hello?
Sounded very professional.
It did, yeah. It sounded like the end of the show. Oh, there we're back. No.
There we go. Yeah, I'm going.
Excellent, mate. In a displaced from your current apartment, because you're getting ready to come back over to this side of the pond.
Yeah, we moved out of the house on Monday. That was a little bit stressful. And since then, I've been staying at an Airbnb and watching cooking shows.
Yeah. See, I'm not the only one.
And has the week flown for you as well, mate?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, there was still a lot to do, like a lot to organize with, like, flights and getting the dog to be shipped and all of that.
Oh, perfect. Do you have to, there's no quarantine or anything like that, is there, for your dog?
No. No, fortunately not, but like she needs a health check and like we had a little bit of a scheduling issue. I wanted to fly out on Monday with her and then the flight for her was booked and then I had to change that and all that. Like, that's been a week.
Cool. Bloody hell, the screen's all over the place. And last but my name is Lee, Muller's here in the studio. How you doing, bud?
Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a busy week watching cooking shows.
Oh, right, another home. Actually, me and Sharon did watch the... Sharon watched the Great British Bake Off the other night, and I was held captive on the sofa.
No, I like that. I watched that. An extra slice.
It's just not funny. Toxic's not funny, and neither's that Noel guy. They're just trite and shite.
It's not about that, though. It's about the baking. But I do like MasterChef and the MasterChef.
I'm glad you finished that sentence.
What?
I watched Cutthroat Kitchen, which is also pretty fun.
Or is that like a pirate thing?
No, it's like chefs can basically sabotage each other for money. Like basically they get like a certain amount of money, they can sabotage each other, and then like whoever wins at the end and still has money left,
pirate,
can take it home.
Yeah.
Basically.
No. Is that cotton chips? Arr.
Is it set in the Caribbean?
Arr.
Not quite.
Oh, quickly before we go. We have got an active story, actually, that we're going to monitor closely throughout the show. The Amazon video app has disappeared from the Mac App Store today.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's the iTunes, the iOS store, not the Mac App Store. So it's gone from the iOS store, and it's not come back yet, which is worrying. Decidedly worrying. If we get any future developments as we go through the show, we will bring you that. There'll be someone handing me a piece of paper from Associated Press, and we will read out what the developments are. But at the moment, there is no Prime Video app in the iOS store. It comes back before the end, I might cry. Right, who's got a story of the week for us? Who's going to start us off?
Fast.
Jeff's in, fast-fingered Freddy. Broomfield police identify suspect in Tesla vandalism.
Okay, so this is actually a local story for me. Broomfield is just a little bit south of Boulder. And so what happened was the person that owns this Tesla did the upgrade. So they had the, it's not called surveillance mode. What do they call that?
I don't know.
It uses all the cameras.
Okay.
We'll call it surveillance mode.
Okay.
And so they had gone to some event at their kid's school, and when they came out from the event, their car had been keyed. The line running the whole length of the car, so deep the metal was actually exposed on the car.
Wow.
And so I went. He decided, you know, I had to look at the cameras and see if they actually caught anything. And it shows this woman who intentionally walks up to the car and discreetly holds her car keys out and just runs her keys down the side of the car as she walks by.
Oh, disgraceful.
And, horrible. So the guy reports the vandalism to the police, and he says, by the way, I've got this footage. And so it just took off here in the Denver Boulder metro area, and ultimately the woman turned herself in because her face was all over every television screen on the Front Range. So first I find this story fascinating because we have this essentially a surveillance system built into a car. Sentry, they call it sentry mode. That does sound better than surveillance mode, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And the footage that was collected was instrumental in solving the case. The other part that I find fascinating about this is that we have more and more cars with cameras all over them. And at what point will people start feeling uncomfortable with the fact that everywhere they walk, not only can you potentially have a government camera watching you, but there's a whole network of cars that can now be used to track everywhere you go. Well,
welcome to England, mate.
I
realized, I'm talking about England right now, aren't I?
We've had CCTV is ubiquitous in streets for the last 20 years plus.
And not so here.
No, why not?
There's a lot of resistance to that in the United States. It is seen as an invasion of privacy, and you know how we are about privacy. There are areas like specific intersections on roadways that will have cameras.
I love that. The Americans, I have a right to privacy. I am stood somewhere where 40,000 other people can stand and look at me, and I have a right to privacy for that.
I can remember being in Las Vegas and having some bloke have a go at me about Britain's video cameras, and I said, but there's loads around us already. And I just started pointing at them. They're on the road over there. They're on that building there, on that building. Every time you walk into a hotel, you're on a camera every 5 yards. It says, this whole city's full of them.
Yeah, that's Las Vegas. There is no place you can go in Las Vegas and not be on camera.
Exactly. And he was going on about Britain. I don't know why we were talking about it, but he was lecturing me. And I just started pointing at his camera.
You should have gone, I'm a cop, you're nicked.
I was at the time.
That would have been great.
I'm in special. I'm in special patrol group, mate. I'm going to beat the shit out, you know.
Welcome to America.
Special patrol group. That's old. That's going back to the '70s.
Well, yes. Not the 9 o'clock news. Savage.
All right. So the surveillance thing being pervasive. Tesla's being on the road in the UK with cameras that can track people. I'm assuming then that means for most people that you know, they'll be like, everything's already on camera anyhow. What difference does it make if someone's car door records me?
My car will, if you bang it.
Yeah, mine's got a shake, strimmer. No, it's got a tremor device. There we go. What the hell? I've only had Coke and gel frazee.
Patrice, can you give him some of your water?
Yeah.
Jeez. Patrice has gone into mute mode again.
All right.
He's back.
No, I mean, the other thing is, like, police departments, if you have a Ring, at least here in the US, if you have a Ring video doorbell, there is a high chance that police departments are accessing that now. Like,
there are more
departments are signing up for it and so on. So, like, we don't even need cameras in the streets. We just literally have houses that do that for you.
Is that true? That can't be true. Yeah.
No, that's true. Here
that is absolutely true.
I suppose they are public.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is police departments are asking Amazon to get them footage of areas where suspected crimes have happened, or they know a crime has happened. But then they'll also reach out to communities or neighborhoods and say, hey, this crime happened. We want your Ring footage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Amazon is also working with some police departments and providing them with Ring cameras.
Oh, I forgot Amazon owned Ring.
The police departments will give out to homeowners and say, hey, you know, this is for your safety, and we'll also watch what's on the camera. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like that.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, and according to, like, some news report I saw the other week, Ring was at least considering even automatic, like having a way to automatically like activate cameras, because right now you can only access what has been stored. So only if like the camera was triggered, but they were at least considering, and I think have now after public outcry scrapped it, they wanted to actually activate the cameras like on demand. Like, so the police department could just say, oh, we're following this guy. Let's activate all Ring cameras in the area.
Do you have a problem with that?
That's creepy.
Do you have a problem with that? Because don't forget, the Ring cameras aren't pointing in your house; they're pointing to the public area.
But so actually, the issue I have is it's only a small step from there. Like, I mean, I have Ring cameras in my house or had, and like, who's to say that they're not accessing that? Like, the same system, literally the same system.
Yeah, but the thing is, at the moment, the privacy laws in Europe would stop it from being shared without proper...
If the data's not on a European server, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, but they can't release it.
Yeah.
And it's not.
And I'm not so sure. Like, if when it comes to law enforcement, rules are slightly different when it comes to privacy.
But why would they want my Ring doorbell footage?
Thank you. finishing that sentence.
I want to know what you're up to.
It's all right. I was needed some
Bud Peach has put a stat in here. He said there's a bit one surveillance camera for every 11 people in Britain, which is a kind of a... It's not disingenuous, that's not the wrong word, but it's a bit misleading because my video surveillance system at home has got six cameras and there's only four of us living in the house. And I got another four down here at the studio. So that's bound to happen, isn't it? That ratio's not... Unless it's surveillance as in like public surveillance cameras, then I am shocked. But if you're talking about taking in home systems as well as, then I'm not.
Well, that's going to increase soon because Birmingham City Council are turning off some cameras because they can't afford it. Also, because there's also been a change. The cameras they have got are no longer the right spec, and they can't afford to upgrade them to the current whatever spec needs to be. Plus, I don't think they've got enough people. And also, they're saying that some of the cameras are now in the wrong places in low crime areas. But my argument would be the cameras
exactly, yes.
If you take them away, the crime will...
Well, they won't take them away, though, will they? They'll just leave them up.
Yeah, but...
And they won't maintain them.
It's been in the Evening Mail, so the kids will soon understand. See, the ones in that Telegraph article, them are no longer the right spec. They have to be those dome-type ones.
Ben Gillam's got really profound on us. Freedom is slavery.
That's a quote from 1984.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
That's lead show title there.
I think Magic Man. Mm-hmm. Has Magic Man, look what he's put.
He says he doesn't want your ring.
No, he hasn't got one.
I started us off with the downer of an article.
I don't have a problem with Tesla having cameras that record vandalism because they're a high ticket item. They're bound to be abused by people. Christ knows why she's done that, but there are people out there who are mean and vindictive who would do that to someone just on a pure success level.
Of course.
But unless he cuts her up or something at a junction, then fair dues. But
yeah. And I mean,
from what I heard, it was totally random.
It's not okay.
They had no relationship of any kind, no interaction before this. Apparently, she just really didn't like his Tesla.
Mm. Yeah, there are people like that.
Ali's just put a message in, and it's like, I'm sorry, I can't make it. Pneumonia. I'll be there next week, though. I had pneumonia, mate. I wouldn't have come here for 2 weeks running. Well, they make them strong in Canada, obviously, or it's man pneumonia, manmonia,
manmonia, which that's the worst.
Manmonia,
yeah.
It's full pneumonia, mate. People can't get out of chairs when they've got pneumonia.
But man flu.
I'm not taking the piss. I wish you well, mate.
You are, though.
Man up, pussy boy,
and get better.
The interesting thing is, I don't mind about the Tesla, so because that's the end of my conversation then. I'm not saying it is, but the Ring doorbell thing, I've sat and thought about that now, and because they're all public facing cameras, as long as they're the outdoor Ring doorbells, I'm not sure I have as big a problem with it, because they're out the front of your house, they're facing the street, so where's the harm in that? There's only positives.
The Tesla cameras, I am actually okay with that.
Good. Okay. One vote for Tesla. Two votes for Tesla.
The Ring cameras on the doors, even though they're facing out to the public, I am not okay with government, the police, whoever, an official government agency of any sort having direct access to those cameras, being able to turn them on or off at will. Because once that happens, then you don't know when the government is watching and tracking you specifically, and there's a threshold.
Right, hang on. So let's break this down
in the United States.
So no one's going to disagree with you that if the government then expand their Ring thing to they're doing inside houses with the Ring cameras, that's not okay. So we're going to say, right, there is a legitimate and enforceable law that says that we will access Ring doorbell cameras because they're outward-facing public cameras. Are you okay with that?
No.
Because that will be the limit of it, though. You're not saying, oh, it could end up. That is the limit of it. Is that okay as a measure on its own with no further advancement of that limit?
No.
Okay.
No. Because now the government can monitor when I am coming and going at my own home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
That is private land, like usually private property still.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if they decide they want to set up a camera somewhere off my property to watch me specifically, that's okay. But if they're doing that, then then they have to go through the courts, most likely, yeah, to get a warrant to be monitoring me specifically in that way, as opposed to having a camera that's watching a whole street.
Okay.
I think mm-hmm. actually, Jeff, they don't need to. You're on every podcast anyway, so
they can monitor when I come home. Jeff, you're always at home. You're always in your underpants.
Yeah.
You're always on the internet.
Yeah. Okay, so for everyone except me, because, yes, the government knows where I am all the time because I'm sitting here with a microphone in my face.
Okay, so how are we going to ask your opinion? Bearing in mind we do know that you're an international hit woman and currently hiding.
I don't think I would have it on. I wouldn't want one. I don't own a Ring anyway, but I think I agree with Jeff. I wouldn't want to monitor when I come and go. But then again, thinking about it, because we're in the UK, we've got all the CCTV. They could probably tell when I'm in my area anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so.
I was just thinking this brings a whole new meaning to the if you like it, you should have put a Ring on it.
I'm about to crack that joke.
Yes. Well, I didn't like it, so I didn't put a Ring on it.
There's going to be a Ring doorbell campaign that's going to be people stealing cars off driveways on Ring footage and going, well, if you like it, you should have put a Ring on it.
Yeah,
I should be in advertising. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I was going to say send all the money to you. And
So
you could make millions.
So Tesla camera thumbs up, Ring doorbell, probably thumbs up.
Probably. If it's outward, yes. As long as they don't have access to what's inside, then I'm fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got one, so.
I would say as long as they go through the courts and get go through the proper channels, warrants. It's fine. It's just not like just activating it.
Though I do like the idea of the we're chasing a suspect and holy hell. You know, we could use the Ring doorbells to follow the suspect. That's got some merit. So that's a one yes and a two no, or A and B no. Right, this is the interesting one. Go on, Copper.
Well, if you've got cameras pointing towards the public highway, you should actually have a backup of it for at least 30 days for the police to come and access it. But they would probably have to get a warrant.
They'd have to get a warrant to get it off your account.
Well, maybe, to force you. I mean, they could go up to you and say, can we have the footage? And if you go, then they get it. But I would say 9 times out of 10, if they want to use it, they would want to get it properly. They wouldn't want to go and get it illicitly because otherwise the courts will chuck it out.
Oh, and there's a statement here from Deepan. You could choose to delete your videos and videos cannot be recovered. Well, that's what they say, but...
Yeah, but the thing is, there's laws that go by these things. You cannot just delete them. Otherwise, you're in contravention of the law.
Mm. Yeah.
I've got an update on the Amazon.
This is hot off the press, right? Okay, news.
I've got
flustered. I'm pressing the wrong buttons. Hang on.
It could be because they've just upgraded it for X-ray for Thursday night football in the US, and maybe it's either broken it or... cause some issues for Apple, so that could be the reason why it's off.
Yeah, I was suspecting that as well, that something broke in the app and they had to.
I love it. We want it to be a really good juicy story, and actually it's just shagged.
Well, it could be just that they've added this X-ray for TFN viewers. Mm-hmm. It could have either broke it or maybe that's caused some sort of issue with...
Is the X-ray thing so you can see the broken bones of players as it happens?
I don't really know. I'm not that interested in...
That just sounds so messed up.
Fracture mode.
I will stick the story in and you can have a look.
Okay.
but that could be the reason.
If you'd like to know what the stories are that we're talking about, then all you've got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, navigate to the 4th of October and scroll through all the gubbins that's gone on through the course of the day through the Mac Show and the Big Show, and you'll be asleep before you get to the end of it. Don't worry. You'll be fine. Good story, Jeff. Who's next?
I think Patrice has one.
I think that's me, yeah.
Patrice is in.
So my story is about Facebook. So the founder of Salesforce, Mark Benioff, says that, I mean, he paraphrased a little bit and said that, like, Facebook is the new cigarettes.
Wow.
He thinks that we should, or the government should get involved and should regulate in some way Facebook. Reason being, amongst a lot of other things, that it has been shown that Facebook actually causes or, like, influences, like, you know, political process. It can cause people to... like have depression or eating disorder, develop depression or eating disorders. Bullying is quite common on Facebook, stuff like that. So I just wanted to know what your opinion on it is. Like, should, like, in general, like social media or anything like this, should governments get involved, or should they just stay out and say, this is like a private company, this is like public, it's just freedom of speech and like anybody can do anything there?
See, my first question, though, there, Patrice, has got to be, is Facebook doing the influences, or is it Facebook users doing the influences?
That is a good question. I would probably say both. Crux. I mean, Facebook has done some things where they, like, ran, even, like, remember that the study they ran on Facebook where they tried to influence people and see how they, like, how they move?
Yeah, but that was just A-B testing. That's not...
Yeah, but it was influencing people.
Yeah, but it's like, do you like ginger biscuits or do you like McVitie's? I mean, it's just, you know, that kind of A-B sampling and seeing if you can change the way that people put their answer in. I don't have a problem with that. I've got a problem with rigging elections, though. And I don't think Facebook have done that.
I've got a problem with people being bullied. But I think that should be...
That's the users, though. That's my point. Mm-hmm. You want to censure Facebook, but actually Facebook isn't doing it. It's users of Facebook that are doing it.
Mm-hmm. What Facebook should be doing is maybe controlling who goes on to Facebook and then banning people, but not just letting them sign up for a new...
That's harsh, because that's like...
What if
they've already got that ability.
The thing is, you can just open a new account with a new email.
No, you're there under license. They can track your IP.
Well, yeah, but I mean, maybe you should sign up with a credit card so they got you, and you sign up with a, maybe make it payable, so you have to pay for it a little bit, if it's only a pound.
Adds up who's paying for Facebook.
What if it's only a pound or something like that?
Yeah, I'll pay $4.99 a month to see my 22-year-old cousins going out to get pissed. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that much, but I'm saying... But
what a deal.
It would make it harder for people to break the law on there. Harder, not impossible. I just think that there are too many... I mean, I've blocked loads of people because they've called me... I mean, there was one guy that just started... He didn't agree with something I said, and he started saying I was a pedo. And I was going, what are you on about? So I don't even get into contact with that block.
Yeah, I mean, but Twitter's done that with me. I had a guy who used to listen to the show, and he was a road safety officer, I think, or, you know, a bit of a cycling nut. And I was just saying, you know, it's six of one half and does the other. There's some really bad drivers out there who treat cyclists terribly. I cycle myself and it's horrible at times. But there are some cyclists who don't help themselves. They go through red lights. They go the wrong way at one-way streets. And the answer I gave it over three tweets. And he cut and pasted what I said in the second tweet and posted it. And it was utterly out of context with the other two tweets. And I blocked him in the end. I was like, how dare you take my tweet out of context? That's not okay. But people do it. You know, you've got to live with the fact that's what happens. Mm. And people are vindictive and nasty and spiteful when they think they can't be found. That's another problem. I've got two harassment orders against listeners to these shows. Telling them they can't come anywhere near me.
And you invite me on the show?
Well, yours expires next month, so you're all right.
Yeah, I think mine still has 3 or 4 months left, right?
But I've had people ring me at 10 o'clock at night, pissed out of their face, asking me how I made a living as a photographer. And sadly for them, I've managed to trace their number and come back and said, well, I'm not listed on Tinder, which you are. I haven't got failed nine failed businesses at Company's House like you have, and that made it worse.
Surprise.
He's probably listening now. I'll probably get a phone call later. Because he's a Harris Moore orders run out. So I'm going to get 2 years. But there's people out there that do that, you know, and it's there's a certain part. When it first started, I was really bothered by it and it upset me. And we beefed up the security at the house and stuff like that. And then I realised it's just, if not anyone that talks about it, and I knew this beforehand, anyone that talks about it doesn't do it. The people to be worried about are the ones that are staring in their pint in the pub, not looking at anyone.
I am with you.
It's not the ones that gob off. The ones that gob off are just gutless. So.
It's just Facebook gives them that platform that they can hide.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's, I don't know, I don't think I'm a fan of government getting involved. But I do think Facebook has put itself in the position that government is having to step in.
I would love to, just thinking on that very point, Howard, what do you think the volume of communication is on Twitter? Because, I mean, I saw a thing the other week that they were saying that there are 2 billion videos a day added to YouTube.
Oh, my God.
Two billion.
2 billion videos a day are added to YouTube.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like, well, I don't know how you manage that amount of data.
You can't.
But that communication volume has got to be almost impossible to trace. And you look at the amount of Facebook messages there are backwards and forwards in a day. I mean, I don't even go on the sodding platform, and I've probably got 40.
I'm trying to think. I only go on there like maybe once every 3 months. So...
Yeah, I mean, the other question is which government should even do it? Like, I mean, Facebook is, I mean, yeah, it's an American company first and foremost, but it's actually like a global actor. Like, it is in, I don't know how many countries. Like, probably hundreds.
It's a global communication and news information service at this point.
Yeah.
But that's the, and this is going to sound like it's me having a pop at politicians saying they can't keep it. It's not that. Governments cannot keep up. They are not facilitated to keep up because all governments are structured to boundary control. And once you break down a boundary, you have no facility other than negotiation to enforce that. And you've got to have cooperation to enforce that. And the one thing you're never going to get is cooperation between USSR, as it was, you know, Russia and US. There's so much division across the planet from east to west. I don't think you're ever going to settle that because they'll be allowed to route whatever they want through another country. Mm-hmm. Be done. Mm-hmm. Once you start routing it through other countries, then you lose control of where it goes. A government cannot be structured to solve that problem. I might add.
No, I think I agree. I mean, that's the whole problem. I mean, as I said, it's like first and foremost, Facebook is a US company, so... since Facebook is making profit here, they could probably do something, but it like potentially only affects the US.
Well, there is an issue that, you know, Bob's made a joke of it in the chat room, but the EU at least had a proportion of control across border boundaries. But even that was a border because, you know, if you're in Europe, you get control. If you're not in Europe, you don't get control. It's no different.
Yep. So. Yeah, exactly.
The World Wide Web is anything but. Anything but. I think it's an interesting question, but I still come back to what I said at the start of it, which is Facebook isn't doing it. Facebook facilitates it, but Facebook's platform to facilitate it possibly is so Wild West that it is unenforceable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a little bit torn on that one. I definitely see your argument in it. I, on the other hand, think about, like, I mean, we do have regulation for news outlets. And, I mean, you can say, yes, that's because, like, whoever is the writer or, like, the news publication, they publish it, so they have control over it and can actually decide what they're going to post versus Facebook can't do that. But, I mean, if you think about it, there's a reason why news is controlled or why news is regulated to some extent. Because you want to make sure that, like, that there are no bad actors, or at least not as bad.
Oh, no, mate. So you go back to the origination of the newspaper, and it has been editorialized. There is no pure reporting of news ever anywhere in the world. The first tablet that was written by someone to pass to someone else in ancient Egypt was editorialized.
No, and I'm not saying that, but, I mean, there are still rules. like rules that news outlets have to follow. As I said, you can argue how good all of that is, whether it's doing anything, but there's a reason why it exists.
But you get into a situation where, you know, you look at the current situation in the UK with, I don't want to get political about Brexit and say whether we should stay or go, it's mm-hmm. nothing to do with that. What I'm saying is that newspapers sell based on unrest. They get news mm-hmm. stories from it, so good news stories, juicy news stories, sell newspapers. And then mm-hmm. the stock markets breed and win based on unsettled market conditions. So mm-hmm. that facilitates it even further. So you've got money people facilitating unrest so that newspapers will report on it, which facilitates unrest, which there's mm-hmm. a triangle that just continues to grow and grow and grow. And there is mm-hmm. no one with a vested interest to peace and calm, not a single person. So that's why it doesn't happen. 68% mm-hmm. of Britons the other day, regardless of partisan politics, said that the current language that was being used over the Brexit thing was volatile and unnecessary. So 70% mm-hmm. nearly of the people of this country are sick and tired of the nastiness that's going with it. Doesn't stop it. They're still carrying on doing it. It does because the newspapers breed off it and the money people breed off it. Simple as mm-hmm. that. So it never changes.
Yeah.
Deep Pants put, if Facebook was traditional news outlet, then monopolies would get involved to break it up as it's too big and has too much control for a single entity. It's not controlling, though. That's my point. You keep coming back to this idea that Facebook is the bad guy and he's controlling. It is not the actor. It is the people that are using it are the actors.
Is it a publisher, though?
Is what?
Is it a publisher?
That'd be a great definition, wouldn't it? That'd be a fantastic two and a half weeks debate in court.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that debate has been ongoing for months, years, probably.
Yeah.
So we don't do it tonight, then.
Well, it doesn't. Well, no, but it doesn't publish. It allows other people to publish.
No. It just that's not the definition of a publisher. I mean, a newspaper publishes, but you do contribute. People contribute to it.
No. No. So if you publish Mrs. Miggins' letter and clearly show it's Mrs. Miggins' opinion as an open letter or forum, it doesn't carry the same weight as a news article that says something.
Well, the way most papers behave today, they don't carry much weight with me anymore.
Oh, well, that's all right. All right, Victor. Jesus.
I mean, the issue is, I mean, there have been court rulings where, like, you like Facebook or any other, like, I mean, any forum like our Slack room, you can't just like ignore things and say, well, it's freedom of speech and it's the actors who are doing it. Like, hate speech is hate speech, and if you're not doing anything about it as a platform or not providing the tools to do anything about it, then you're liable for that. So it's not as clear, I would say. It's not as easy.
So you look at our Slack room as an example, then. It's easy to manage because there's 260 of us signed up for it, and about 100 of those are active users. So it's not exactly the same. And there is only one person in our midst who wanted to be part of the Leave campaign, and they took abuse that was way beyond what was acceptable. So I put a stop to it. That's not okay. But that's because I could see it. I mean, if I'd have logged on 20 minutes later, I'd have been past all of those messages, maybe, and I wouldn't have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, and that's just me monitoring 130 people in a Slack room. It's not me monitoring billions of communications an hour across Facebook.
Well, that's true, but as I said, like, there are already some rules in place. Like, Facebook has to do what is, as like you as well, like what is reasonable and within their means to prevent things that are clearly illegal, and hate speech is.
Usually. Yeah. Could you turn your cement mixer down a little bit, please, Patrice?
Well, I just assumed he'd moved on to the train.
I think he's got one of your old sex toys.
Oh, steady on. There was no need for that.
No, those are all quiet.
Well, I've had those serviced now. They don't make anywhere near as much noise.
Steampunk one.
It's the bit. Okay, it's the wince machine. Right, Howie's had enough because she's put a story in. Oh, we're on to sex toys. No, moving on. Google using dubious tech. Oh, we're having a right old tin foil hat tonight, aren't we, Mrs.?
God, you wait to see my story.
Google using... I've got one about tentacle porn, don't worry. I'll do it just before the sponsors read.
Yeah, I think it's probably best.
That would be perfect timing.
Google using dubious tactics to target people with darker skin in facial recognition project.
Yeah, so this was
Before we start this, can we just point out, we're about having a discussion. So someone may choose to be the devil's advocate here, but don't write in.
That's fine.
Yes. Okay. Before we carry on, Laura, I do apologize.
So, so this is for the Pixel 4. So they're trying to improve the facial recognition. Now, I understand what they're trying to do. They were targeting, that's the interesting bit, is that they were targeting college students or university students and the homeless. And they weren't telling them what they were doing, but they were offering them $5 gift cards.
Facial recognition $5.
$5.
Give me $5.
So basically, your face costs $5.
Right.
So they were trying to get a quick turnaround. So what it is that Google apparently hired some contractor to go out and get volunteers to come in and run through the facial recognition. But they were specifically told, no one knows whether Google specifically said this, but that's the assumption. They were specifically told to target darker skin because at the moment they are struggling with trying to get recognition for darker skins. But it's kind of backfired on them.
So I'm going to come at this from a slightly different... Now, is the facial recognition going to be ultra... what's the word I'm looking for? Not ultrasonic.
Anonymized.
No, you know when your thing scans, it's ultraviolet, isn't it? Is it going to be an ultraviolet scan that they're looking for, or is it an optical recognition? That's my first question.
Probably mean infrared.
Infrared, that's the word. Yeah. Thank you. The other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I think it was an optical recognition.
See, now speaking as a photographer, I know damn well that if I go to shoot a group of executives in an office, I will have to set the lighting up completely differently for someone who's got black skin over white skin. Just because if you've got a light background at the back, which is illuminated, and you put a light that's insufficient at the front, a light-skinned person will show up far easier than a person with dark skin. You'll have to boost the light at the front to get a better recognition of them against the light background. It's physics. It's nothing more than that. It has to be different.
No, I get that it has to be different. But I think what was... interesting to me was that they didn't come out and say this was what they were doing, and I don't understand why they needed to hide the fact that this was what they were trying to do, because I'm sure that there would have been loads of people who would have been happy even if you'd offered them more than $5 to volunteer themselves to go in and do this. So
I agree, they didn't need to be mysterious about what they were doing.
No.
Okay, I see two problems here. The first one is Google should have been upfront about what they're trying to do, and they may have been able to get some positive press out of that.
Yeah.
The second problem that we have, and this is a long-standing problem, is that so much of the software that involves dealing with skin tone was written by white people and tested with white people. And, for a long time, if you wanted to do color correction on a person in Photoshop, it was markedly more difficult to do if you had darker skin, because they just didn't build the code to take that into account. So on one hand, okay, I'm glad to see that Google was proactively working to address the fact that not everyone has the same skin color. Mm. But on the other side of that, holy crap, Google, just be straight up about what you're doing. And people would probably, you probably would have had more people that responded positively to this, saying thank you for working to address the fact that the whole world is not white.
I is that just a poison chalice as well, though? Again, playing devil's advocate, you know, you stand up and say, "Hi, we're doing a survey to try and recognise people of colour more easily," and everyone's going, "Ah, right, okay, so this is a state-sponsored thing on one side, okay, so- or it's like you don't care about us." You know, I think there's, I don't know, I don't know what to think about this. That's,
I think they could have presented it better.
Oh, definitely.
Made a good case for it, and like you said, garnered good PR for it. But I think what they've done is just basically been like, everyone's now like, well, why?
Yeah.
Mm. Why hide? I don't understand why they needed to hide it, unless you're planning to keep all the data. With,
our facial recognition system is crap. Thus.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand Google to some extent. I'm okay with them going out to the streets and just taking photographs from people for that purpose. I think that's a probably easy way to do that. Like, simply go out where real people are and get as many different people as you can, and give them a little incentive. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure it wasn't just homeless people. Like, if I'm white, so they probably wouldn't have approached me. But if they had, I probably would have been fine with it. I think the issue here is, and maybe it has a little bit to do that Google's trying to keep things under wraps, what they're working on, which in this case doesn't really make any sense, because that's like, I mean, it's a standard thing in software development. You don't want to talk about what you're working on until it's ready and done and working. Mm. And I think that might have been like, it might have played a role here, that they simply didn't want to talk about what they're doing. But as I said, in this case, and I agree with you, Hawa, it doesn't make any sense, or it didn't really help them. They could have just said, hey, like, we're improving our algorithm here, and that's what we're doing, and just put a press release out and be done with it. It's really not that secret, or it doesn't have to be that secret.
And they could have probably saved themselves some money, because I know loads of people that would have done it for free.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, probably. As I said, on the other hand, you want variation, and like the people who would probably share their photos, I'm not sure that would work out.
Jenil, Ho 18 said, "Oh my God, they have my face." She knew she was being scanned. "I know he said Android. I didn't hear anything about Google," she claimed. That's an interesting point, isn't it? Because I would know instantly that Android and Google are synonymous. So, you know, what's the issue? But people wouldn't get that necessarily if they're off the street. I don't mean that as in homeless. I mean as in just, you know, the average person in the street wouldn't necessarily know that. Mm-hmm. Follow the dot with your nose. "I did the action of holding the phone to my face. Maybe next time I'll be more aware. I was mostly tempted by the gift card."
$5.
It's amazing what people will do for $5.
But it is Starbucks, to be fair. I mean, it's quality coffee.
Really?
Also, there's that.
Yeah.
At least you used to offer £12.
Huh. Yeah.
That was for the video ID procedures, because they wanted obviously innocent people as well as guilty people on there.
Williams told us he asked if I wanted to get a free $5 card by doing data analytics. They didn't say it was a scan, but I was just thinking about the Starbucks.
Yeah, it's probably at one.
So in that sense, they were really smart, because they gave people Starbucks cards. People were participating without any idea of what they were really participating in.
Yeah. Which is pretty much the standard.
Yeah, this is just bad PR. There's nothing more sinister in it than that. But there is a bit of me that thinks, well, there could be an element of this where you don't know how they'd have phrased it. They might not. It would still have been a negative story, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Potentially. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe what you said, how, you know, just put it out and say, right, we're looking for people from the following ethnic minorities to help us with research to improve our analytics. And they would have got probably people flooding in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Good one. Removing coordinated authentic behaviour in United Emirates. Is this yours, Muller? Is this your story?
No, I just put that in because...
Okay.
I'm going to put my Daily Mail one in.
I dropped a TechCrunch story in a little while ago.
Righto.
It's a follow-up for the Amazon video app.
Which, to be honest, we've dealt with some really serious issues tonight, but the seriousest of them all
is the Amazon app
disappearing.
Mm-hmm. So Amazon totally. Is saying there was a technical problem, and so the app is out of the store while that's addressed and should be back shortly.
So basically, the other story was right. It's X-ray.
There you go. Corruption, messing with elections, race relations, all insignificant in comparison to Amazon's video app coming back.
That's right. And we are on top of the news.
Oh, we've never had a live story developing, have we? We've got a live story unfolding.
Over to our roving reporter.
Jeffrey, who sat in his underpants in his lounge.
You know, whatever it takes.
With a bowl of Cheetos, keeping us with his finger on the pulse.
That's right.
Oh, going from that onto Muller's story. Go on, mate.
Well, we've talked about facial recognition, but apparently it's going to get worse for those privacy people out there. I mean, we've already talked privacy to death, but now they've developing body recognition. So even if you cover your face up, you can be recognised by your body shape and through your clothes and what clothes and how you walk. So basically, even if you cover your face now, you will be spotted in the street.
I'm not surprised by this.
No, nor me, to be honest.
Because, I mean, you look at people's gaits, and people's walking gaits are very, very unique.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One example they say here, say if you're going to a football match, obviously, before you cause trouble, you've walked in, you're showing your face, you're quite happy, and all of a sudden you balaclava up when you want to kick the living daylights out of one of the opposition. But by then, it's too late. They've got your clothing, they've got your mannerisms, and it's easy enough to identify you later for the follow-up arrest.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, if you looked at further down, it also talks about Apple's technology, the way that works, which is very similar. So basically, that Apple fires all this invisible light at your face in dots, and then the camera picks it up. So it's a similar thing, but this is going to worry people, because they won't even need your face now. So
they haven't really needed your face in quite a while. Like your ear, for example, was enough to identify you in some cases. Like your ear shape, you could see it. Like
no, ear shape, penis shape.
I'm with you. And
sorry, penis shape is almost fingerprinting.
What?
Your peener. What? That's your ear.
I thought you said something else.
Your ear is called your peener, mate. Your peener shape is almost unique, and it's inherited.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was an actor, yeah. Michael Peener.
So,
moving on.
Yeah. So, I'm with Ewan on this one. Like, I'm not surprised. I mean, people are quite unique, and like, if you watch people in the streets and like see them over and over, you can recognize people from the distance without even seeing their faces. I believe it. Like it's possible.
Yeah, link it up with your Ring doorbell.
Yeah.
I had a meeting with a guy, because we've been doing the Sentry camera system for a while, and I met up with a guy who did facial recognition cameras, and these things were, you know, mega expensive, more expensive than we were going to buy. But he said, our cameras are really sophisticated. I'll give you an example then. So he said, you walk in a bar, our camera clocks, you walk up to the barman and you order a round of drinks. The barman interacts with you and then he interacts with the till, and we can associate the drinks with you. So when you next come to the bar, we can preempt what it is that you want and show the barman what your last round was before you buy the next one. I was like, wow. And it was like, I was talking to Andy about it. He's like, so where's the datum? And I said, the datum's the barman. Because you look at the barman looks at the till, that's the barman's the constant. And that was it. It's just, you know, the facial recognition, they can track where you've been. They can track how you've moved around the room. They can track the height that you are compared to what you drink, or your body shape to what you're compared to drink. There's tons of stuff that they can do with it all. Do head counts. Our camera can do a head count. So it's there's a lot of stuff that cameras can do. So I'm not surprised in this story at all.
No.
And I say people are pretty unique. Batwench has put, I don't know, my dad, brother and nephew walking down the street, they all walked the same. Yeah, but they'd all be different sizes. That's the thing. It's not the single factor. It's the multiple factor association, isn't it? Like, okay, they're all walking with the same gait or a similar gait, but dad's got a different body shape from brother one, brother two.
And no one walks identical to someone else.
Yeah.
Because
everyone's different, weights different, leg sizes, maybe a centimetre.
Different age.
Age, yeah. Maybe you've had an injury, played football or come off a bike or something, and that affects you.
Ian in the chat room, is that the whole wide-angle lens thing on the iPhone 11 for body ID? I don't know if that's a piss take or if that's him trying to be serious.
I think that's a piss take.
He's done me. No. I don't know.
I once talked to a physiotherapist, and he told me he can tell, like, he was really, really good. And he told me he can tell what people have when they walk into the door. Like, he hasn't even, like, gotten any information, hasn't even seen what information was sent over. He just looks at people, and he can already tell what's going on.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I went to a physio years ago when I was a lot more active and sporty and stuff. And she, the first time I ever saw her, a girl called Deborah Bailey, I think she's in Australia now. Hello, Deborah, if you're watching. I walked in the first time I went in, and she said, load of one-sided sports then. And I said, yeah. And so squash, cricket, tennis, nothing with two sides. I'm like, no, it's what I'm here for. I've got real problems with my left side, but not my right. And I laid down, and my feet were... like one leg's upright and my other foot is bent across. And then she did all manipulation and both feet are pointing vertical afterwards. And it was just like, wow, it's unreal. But yeah, she got me straight away. Knew exactly what was going on. One side sports, too many one-sided sports, do other sides. Do an exercise that balances you off.
Mm-hmm.
Ian's clarified it was a piss take. Very good.
Because it uses the front camera, not the back.
The wrong sodding button. There we go.
The thing is, I mean, people are going on about this, but I mean, it's going to take a reasonably good camera. It's not going to be those really awful cameras you see in the streets doing this. It's going to be these newer cameras coming out, and they're not even going to be looking to take pictures. They're going to be literally firing UV or infrared and just getting the shape. Because if you look at the video on there, it's the picture they take isn't a picture. It's like an image, like a flat pack image, like you were pushed through one of those pin cushion things. So they're not looking anymore at photographs. They're looking to basically scan your face, to scan you like a photocopy. That's probably not the right word, but...
Yeah, and you go back to your issues. Patrice is putting here in the chat room, Deep Hands said most self-service tills in supermarkets now have a camera that videos your face, and Patrice has added no, they do your hands as well because you've seen it in a place where it comes back. But you're there under license, so you can't stop them from doing it.
We just don't use a self-service till.
You're here under license, so that says that if you want to buy your stuff here, you have to submit to these conditions.
In that case, why do these tills still ask for the assistant to come over and authorise your booze? I mean, surely
it's your young, fresh face look, Muller.
That's it. It's just you they're checking.
They should be scanning and going, well, it's a bit like Amazon. Did you hear my Amazon story? Amazon wouldn't... I opened the door and he wouldn't hand over a bottle of gin to me until I proved my age. I mean, yes, exactly. That was my... And I go, what do you want? A picture ID card? I ain't got one. But not one to hand. Well, it was my wife at first, the first time, but he came the second time. He came to the wife twice, and she hasn't got any picture IDs. And he came to me, and I said to Amazon, send it back. He just handed it to me and walked off, and I've not ordered since. But they're basically saying that my wife is 64 this year. I'm, what, 59, and we're
too young. I'd be flattered. You're complaining, mate. I'd be flattered. Really?
But we look the age. It's not even
25.
Close.
No, mate, since you've given up smoking, mate, your fresh face glow has come back, obviously.
Yeah, a lot of retailers in the United States have a standing policy of if you look like you are 50 years old or younger, we are going to card you. And and then there's some places that have the policy of if you're breathing and you are ordering alcohol from us, we want to see an ID. We don't care if it's obvious that you're 95 years old.
I was everywhere I went in Michigan, I was carded regardless. Everywhere. Because it's just like, well, you know, if we card everyone, then no one can get offended. I think it was it's easier to just do that.
I think it's more of we card everyone and we're covering our ass.
Mm-hmm. But not though, it just winds people up. No need for it. I mean,
doesn't wind me up when I get free child travel.
You get free child travel?
Sometimes people might mistake me and think, you look like a child. I'm like, no, I don't. But if you think I do, hey, whatever.
Now, you always have your camera underneath here, so you always look bigger than the door frame behind you. So we have no sense of scale about how tall you are, Howard. How tall are you?
I'm only 5 foot. That's
a 5 foot?
Yeah.
Ah, that's cool. I had a friend and his wife was 4'10". And I said to her, that's great. I said, you can just get all your clothes free as well, cheap and that kind of stuff. And she went,
no, you don't.
She said, but they don't do a lot of lingerie for 10-year-olds. Exactly. I was like, and I'm sitting there going, and all of a sudden I thought, what do you mean they don't do a lot? I hope they didn't do any.
Is she going to Jimmy Savile's place?
Oh, my God.
Yes, they do nowadays.
So Howard, you get cheap clothes. You get in the cinema.
No, I don't get cheap clothes because they never fit.
Right. You get in the cinema free.
I've got one downside for her, though. She can't go on the rides at Alton Towers or the DC.
Because she's too short.
Yeah.
No, I always have to. The last time I went to Alton Towers, gosh, it was many years ago. Many, many years ago. I can't remember what rides I couldn't go on.
Did you? You had a few rides you couldn't go on?
That's the bit that annoys me, is not being able to go on some rides.
It's for your own safety, though.
Wow.
You can go
whatever.
You can go on the teacups.
So you fit through the overhead braces, that's the trouble. You pull the brace down over your head like the U-shaped brace and you can fit one arm through it. That's just not safe.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
The only thing you got upset when they throw you off the teacup ride.
Oh.
Oh, I was never coming on again.
Auntie Pablo will get a first plane to England to come and pick us up.
She'll come and deal with you. It's funny though, because I am the smallest in my family, so everybody thinks my younger brothers are my older brothers, but they're not.
We have someone who works in a supermarket in the chat room. I won't say who they are, but they've put, because you can look it up later and find out for yourself if you want. When you ask cashiers, think 25 and don't screw up because they could get cautioned and an £80 fine, they tend to ask a little bit more to be cautious. That's a fair point.
Yeah, but asking me is being very cautious to the point of ridiculous.
Well, you just look suspicious.
And this person's put, as a person who works in retail, I'd rather the policy was just everybody because then it stalls putting it down to a person's judgment. Yes. Fair enough. Excellent. Good story, mate. I can edit. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. We are indebted to them. They are absolutely wonderful. They have looked after us immensely in the last few weeks and they're going to carry on for an awful lot longer. They need you to look after them as well, though. So first thing you can do, and it's the most important thing you can do, and it's the only thing they really want of you, is get yourself onto social media and thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. We're going to do a whole pile of stuff. Wrighty has been fired up and written a load of retro reviews. So if you want to know whether you should buy a game from the 1980s, Wrighty's your man. They'll be out soon on the blog. Patrice has fixed the blog front page, so the blog show up on the front page now of the website. Mm-hmm. And also, TSO Hosts have got good offers at the moment on VPSs. So if you'd like a virtual private server, then you can go to their website and sign up for one. They start at £40 for a really very acceptable server, and then they go all the way up to a holy hell server at £200, and they're massive. But the best part is, if you stick into your basket, BTN20 is the offer code, you're going to get 20% off that amount going forward. So, and it's good. And I'm pretty sure that that's a recurring thing. So if you're renewing your domain or that kind of stuff, or renewing your hosting with them, use BTN20 and you'll still get 20% off your offer code. So BTN listeners effectively get 20% off TSO host services, full stop. So please check them out. Please look after them, because they look after us, and we're in deep if they walk away. So please, please, please do the thing. Big thanks to Greg as well. He donated $100 this week to keep the news show going. If you haven't heard the news show, it's on at 9 o'clock in the mornings. It's done by Kyle Swagger. So America goes to sleep, Kyle gathers all the news, and then he pushes it out on into UK for 9 a.m. On the news show. 5 minutes of all the tech news of the previous day. He is paid for to do that, and we need subscriptions and donations to pay for his time to do it. So if you can subscribe to us or donate to us, then it's britishtechnetwork.com/subscription, and you can give $5, $10 or $20 a month, and that just helps us to keep going. We do appreciate everyone. There's been a lot of people out there who've given us a lot of support financially for a very long time. So we don't take any of the money in the UK. We just give it out to Kyle, and that's it. So, please support us, and we do appreciate it. Right, it's time to do the cool thing. Starts off our...
Right, so going on with AI, spend a week with AI. So this is Wanda. It's a fun simulation, and it's just to facilitate the discussion between the risks and benefits of using AI. All right. So you spend a week with Wanda, and Wanda can either help you improve your health, your wealth, or relationships. So yeah, so give it a try.
So she thinks I look like I'm in a good mood today.
Yeah. So actually, some of the stuff she does come back with is quite funny. So, but you spend every day, you get an email back, or you get something from her. But it's quite interesting how she can take over your life.
I want to try you out is not a question that I thought I was going to have to a young girl. Well, that's excellent. So tell me, how do you want your life to be better? I want to tend to your greatest needs. Would I like to be healthier, richer, or better relationships? Oh, that's healthier. It's just too healthier. Great choice. Thank you. Sign up using Facebook. Oh, bugger off.
I didn't sign up using Facebook, but you can.
I've got to sign up using an email or Facebook. That's it. You lost me. Good pick. for the first two questions, it was cracking, mate. Absolutely cracking.
No, but depending on which route you take, so if you go Facebook route or if you go email route, she does different things. So
if you go Facebook route, she messes with your electrical reforms. Although, and then claims it wasn't her, claims it was a subsidiary.
Starts texting you, then blackmailing you.
Bullying you.
And your missus wants to know who this young girl.
And then you start seeing pictures around the Riviera with a better life than you.
Yeah, she starts sending you information out about you as well.
Oh.
But remember, this is all in the simulation, so nothing actually gets sent out.
Well, in signing up with Facebook, do you give her access to all your friends?
Well, that's the mock thing, yeah.
Yeah, 5,000 people now know Wanda, your friend, Wanda. Jeffrey, what's your cool thing?
My cool thing probably means someone needs to stage an intervention. Cool thing is Untitled Goose Game.
Go on.
It seems like such a stupid game, and it is so addictive and so fun.
It's on arcade, is it then?
I'm sorry, you broke out.
Is it on arcade?
PC,
no, it's not. It's on Mac OS, it's on Windows, and it's on Switch.
Right.
So the premise of the game is you are a goose, and you are in this small town, and you have tasks that you need to accomplish. So it's a puzzle game in that sense, because you have to figure out how to do whatever it is that's on this list of tasks that you're given. But the bottom line is you are just this horrible goose. You are a jerk, and you are trying like one of the things you have to do is get this this gardener to change his hat. So you're now doing things to annoy the gardener incessantly in an effort to steal the hat off of his head, and then you have to hide it. So he then has to go and get a different hat. When he puts the other hat on you, you've accomplished the goal. And that's how so many of the tasks work. You're just doing things to annoy the people in the town and manipulate them into doing something that lets you achieve your goose goals.
Facebook the goose.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So it's, I want to say it's $15.
$15 to be an annoying goose.
To be a, yes. And I have to say that it's a lot of fun.
Now, full disclosure, did you pay the $15?
I did. Yep. I paid for it.
All right. If Jeff pirated with money and he still says it's great, then that's...
That's saying something.
Testament indeed. Absolutely, mate. Untitled Goose Game.
I hope that they come out with a version for iPad, because I feel like that would be a really good platform for this game. The problem is they haven't figured out a touch control system for the game that makes sense.
No. Okay. Great.
But it does have me thinking about whether or not I should buy a Nintendo Switch so that I can play the game when I'm away from my desk.
So you can concurrently play that then? Even though you've bought a game already on Mac, you can transfer it over and play it on Switch?
I hope so. Okay. Assuming I get a Switch.
Well done, mate. I think. Bit of light reading for you, Patrice.
You could say so. It's actually a very good book. So there is a book, I think it came out last year, from Neil deGrasse Tyson. You might know him from StarTorc or like a lot of other stuff, some really good TV shows as well. He's an astrophysicist. He works a lot on like making things accessible and like what's happening in physics and astrophysics especially accessible for people. And he wrote a book with someone else together, like co-wrote it, called Accessory to War. And it's about the alliance between astrophysics and the military. And it's a really good book. I'm listening to it on Audible, but I mean, you can also buy the paperback or the hardcover. And like I haven't finished it yet, but so far it's really good. Like he goes into detail on like the history of stuff. Like, for example, that until, well, end of, like, I think it was 1884, I think, when they, when basically the governments of the world, or I should say the Western world, came together and actually agreed on what we now is the, GMT, like Greenwich Mean Time and the median and all of that. And it took until like 1911 for actually France, I think, was one of the last countries to actually accept that. So we even haven't had, like, a standard time in the world until really like early 20th century. Stuff like that is really fascinating, and I didn't know about it. So it's a really good book, well written. He reads it himself on Audible, on the audiobook version.
And he's got a very listenable voice, hasn't he?
Yes,
very he James, does. Like, not James really Earl Jones, but you know what I mean. He's another one.
Yeah. So I highly recommend it. It sounds a little bit doom and gloom, but like it is, I mean, we all know it. Like, I mean, they're physicists were the ones who like created the atom bomb and like all the other, I mean, basically scientists are creating a lot of weapons and like, why should we hide that? And that's basically what he's talking about. And like the whole, like, I mean, that you can't do it without it. Like you can't even separate things. Like, a big chunk of what he talked about, for example, was the like telescopes and like just they were originally actually developed for military use. And like we only later used them for other stuff, or they were developed for personal use and then used in military. I can't remember which way, but they were very early basically used in like military and warfare on the ground. They weren't actually pointed to the skies. They were actually used on the ground to like see signals and see like your opponents and stuff like that. So it has always or almost always been like this way that scientists are somehow involved in war, whether they want it or not.
Mm.
And that's it. It is a really interesting book. Highly recommend it.
I had a lady come round yesterday for a meeting who was a doctor of geology and geophysics and stuff like that. She used to work for petrochemicals. And she was telling me all about the Arctic melting and the fact that it's releasing more methane, which is doing more harm, which is causing more releasing of other substances, and then the melting of the Arctic. And then the American, Russian and Chinese governments are all racing to the Arctic to try and put up factories so they can mine the methane to use it, which is making the ice caps melt even faster. And we're all dead, effectively, in the next few years. Mm-hmm. And it could come far faster than my children may not see 50, from what she was saying. And I got to the end of it, I wish I hadn't asked you to come round now.
Yeah, everything is, basically everything is connected. And one other thing that I just remembered, the Hubble Space Telescope. I mean, I think a lot of people are a fan of that. It was declassified in 2011. There are, 10 or 20 spy satellites that are basically Hubble telescopes, but they're used for spying on people or spying on other countries. The Keyhole satellites, you might know those.
Yeah.
So, and they're almost identical. So they're basically either, you could say, Hubble class telescopes, or the Hubble telescope is a Keyhole class satellite.
Yeah, so, but there was a great article on it a few years ago, talking about the physics of the optics, that you couldn't correct the distortion on the optics, because the thing was, you could, the spy satellites up there that can read the label on your shirt, and apparently it's absolute bollocks. Do it, because you cannot rectify the optics to that kind of focal length at the focal length that you would be back to the planet. It's just not physically possible. So all they can do is get dots of people. That's kind of it. It's not real bad Big Brother stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, there is the new James Webb telescope, where as far as we know, there is no military version of it yet. But I mean, you can expect there will be.
That you know of.
Well, but
as far as we know.
Yeah, but the problem is that when you're trying to focus on something that's 13 billion light years away, you use an entirely different set of parameters for something that's 20 feet away. That's why your 200 millimeter lens doesn't work at 6 inches. Whereas your macro lens does.
The physics are still the same.
Yeah, and it doesn't work. That's what I've just said.
Yeah. No, but as I said, it's still, there are military applications for almost anything. Like, no matter what you develop, I'm even software development, I don't know whether something I created and put out there didn't end up in some military software. That's just how the world works.
Oh, God, I hope mine's better than this. We're going to cheer everyone.
It is a good book. Like, just listen to it or read it. It is a really good book.
Okay, we'll take your word for it. Yeah, Oppenheimer created the nuclear bomb because he just wanted to see a big bang. Pyro. Oh, God, I've tried to look at a Washington Post article and all it wants is me bloody money. Crap. Muller, what's your cool thing?
I brought it on the Apple show when I'm going to do my...
Oh, you can't do it again.
Oh, I can, because we've got different people watching.
Don't believe that. Jesus. No one watches this shit twice.
I brought it here. I mean, it's not light. I mean, well, it's a light, but... So it's the it's for a bike light. I'll put it near the thing. You probably can just about see it flashing. But it gives you... You put it in your bottle cage on your bike, and it flashes. It can either flash really light or much brighter. It lasts 14 hours on the bright setting. That's 48 on there. There is a solid mode as well, but I can't seem to get it to do that. You probably see that's a bit brighter. And it just gives, I mean, your bike lights go forward and back. This just gives you some side glow. So car drivers or other people can't say they didn't see you from the side. And if you look on the Amazon website, you can see it is actually quite effective. So I have to try it out in the dark out here in a minute.
So, yes, let's.
Well, I think they could have a version of this for runners, because you get people running at night, you know, something to clip it to your belt, give you some you've got to carry water, haven't you? Oh, it's rechargeable as well by micro USB, so it's not going to cost you any batteries.
That's cool. Price?
30 quid nearly. I mean, so it's not cheap.
I've gone online and I've got an article that shows a the resolution, the maximum resolution you can get for a spy satellite, and that is it. There you go. That's as good as it gets, people. So fear not. And that's a keyhole one, I think, what the article was saying.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not read. It can't even read a license plate, so.
Well, I saw 51st State or whatever it was, where they were following him around with a spy satellite.
You and I take your physics and I trump you a fictional film. Yes, well, that's not going to work, mate.
Yeah, but they can log into your ring doorbell and spot you from there.
Exactly. There's far easier devices. There's a big frigging TV at the end of your the cinema at the end of your camera camera at the end of your street that's probably doing more damage. Magic Man's put down, it would be great if a cyclist just had any lights. I followed one the other day and he had a backlight, but he had no front light, so I had no clue when he was coming up to me when I pulled up at a junction. Not good.
Well, I do, because I don't want to die. Well, just yet, anyway.
I don't know what Ben Gillam's saying, whether he can... Oh, here we go. He's put the UK link to Patrice's book. There we go. Enemy of the State. Muller, says Magic Man.
Yeah, okay. I knew it wasn't the right film.
Excellent. My cool thing is my new cabinet that's got all the broadcast equipment in, but Line 4's not working. There you go. I built that a couple of weeks ago, and I've spent ages now looking at the pulling everything to pieces and thinking, oh, God, I don't fancy the job of pulling everything to pieces and putting it back together again. And I put it all back together. Line 1 didn't work for Chuck, but I sorted that out. Line 4 didn't work for Therese tonight, so I need to sort that one out. There it is. It means now we can wheel it out into the green area that we've got out the side, and we can do our shows from over there as well with a lot more space. So it's good. I've finally done it. And we cut the Muller desk down a bit so that he didn't need that much space.
Got no space to spread.
Yeah, we know. That was design, mate. Deliberate. Where can we get a hold of you? Hour.
I'm on Twitter. Sorry?
All 5 foot of you.
I'm on Twitter as Harry A, and I'm also in the Slack room.
Excellent, Mrs. Are you back again soon?
Yes, hopefully.
Good, like to hear that. Jeff, where would you be?
I am over at textexpander.com. Jay Gamut on Twitter and Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And Gobs of Podcasts.
Gobs. Every single podcast in the world.
Yeah. Excellent. Good man.
Whether they want it or not.
Patrice, we know you're in Airbnb in Phoenix, but where would you be?
Usually every week here on BTN, on The Mech Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. And last but by no means least, Muller.
Muller Biker on Twitter, also in the Slack room. And mostly this week, I'll mostly be watching cooking shows.
Cooking shows, good man. Why don't you ranking? Get me at you and ranking on Twitter. I'll be watching the rugby tomorrow morning. England are taking on the USA horde. So it'll be us versus them. Is it USA?
No, we beat USA.
Who are we taking on?
We absolutely took them to the clean.
We taking Japan on? I can't remember who we're playing, but I'll be there. I'll be watching it. Then I've got rugby in the afternoon. And then I've got drinking in the afternoon. It'll be Sunday then. So time will fly.
You haven't taken your tablet.
Oh, pants. I haven't taken my tablet. Right. We'll be back in next week. Big show and Mac show as normal, 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. On Friday. Make sure you come along and have a watch live because it's good fun and we do involve you, you know. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.